Wendy Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, August 8th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great today. Thank you very much. And
well, me
I'm
too.
Happy.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, good. It's always good to be here. We get to talk about so many different things on Tuesdays
we
and
do.
Thursdays. And there's certainly a lot of things to talk about. And so, but the first thing I'm going to talk about, of course, is gold. Gold struggled today. We had a high of 1510, had a low of 1489, and we're kind of like right in the middle. We're at 1504, up $2.30. Silver, I mean, these metals have had an incredible run. So a little pressure on silver today, 1703, down 15 cents. Platinum was up $3 at 870. Palladium was up 6 at 1427. USDX today was down 0.03 at 97.60. Crude oil was up 1.76 at 52.85. And of course, the paper markets, Peter Piper, anyway, the Dow.
Be careful now. Be careful.
The Dow was up. The paper markets. The Dow was up 372 points at 26,379. The Nasdaq was up 176 at 8,039, and of course, the S&P was up almost 2% too, up 54 at 29.38. So they all got back to their psychological levels, you know. 10-year yield, 1.72, that popped up to 0.03. December contract gold is still 1515, so that's a good deal. European and Asian markets were all stronger, mainly European countries. Germany was up 1.68, London was up 1.21. But there's still a little bit of fear as far as the emotion that's driving the market, but certainly no panic at any means. And I don't know what it's going to take for folks to feel a little pressure, to feel a little panic in order until they start selling. But hey, the way I look at it, it gives us another day. It gives us another day to get in there and buy gold and silver at these low, low prices. Buy low, sell high. That's the way it's supposed to work. Except if you own paper, these people don't know how to sell. They don't know when they're getting profits to sell. And Bitcoin is not gold. Bitcoin is not a safe haven. I saw them pitching gold this morning on CNBC. They had a guy up on there, and he was actually saying that Bitcoin is a commodity. No, it isn't. It is not a commodity.
It's less of a commodity than a dollar bill is.
Good grief. But the interesting thing out of there that I got from this interview and this discussion of Bitcoin was the majority of the money that we have seen, not only in other cryptos, but also Bitcoin, is coming from Asia. Interesting. From the Asian countries, South Korea, China. And one of the discussions, you're not allowed to take a lot of money out of China. I think there's a limit of like $50,000 or something like that. Stupid. But people get it out in other ways. And of course, Bitcoin is the way they do it. And the discussion was, well, is Bitcoin used for anything other than pornography, drugs, and you know, crime? And that's how this conversation came about. Yeah, that's what cryptos and Bitcoin is used for, the majority of it, and on the dark web. But that's how a lot of these Asian countries move money around.
Sure.
And that's where the bulk of the money comes from. So. But anyway, I need to find that interesting, but he was pitching it as a commodity. No, ladies and gentlemen, it is not a commodity.
Well,
it's
like
as much
I said,
as
it's
my dog is more of a commodity than Bitcoin.
a dollar bill, a piece of paper, is still something.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you know, when people realize that gold has been up $300 over the last 6 months and silver $3 an ounce, where else could you invest $1,100 back 6 months ago and then return to $1,500 today? Really, think about that.
Yeah, I know.
Gained $300-$400 in a period of 6 months. Which savings account can you put that in to gain that kind of earnings on $1,100 to $1,200 investment to get back $1,500?
Well, certainly not anymore since they're dropping the rates like rocks.
There you go.
You can't park your money in the bank anymore. I mean, people were getting, at least they were a little complacent with getting 2% at the bank or close to 2%. Now they're getting, if you eliminate inflation out of the rates, you're looking at you. The 10-year is already paying negative rates, so it's. But hey, stock market's up, everything is happy again. Don't worry, be happy.
And, I'm not nearly as intelligent as most people, and I know that, especially those who invest money in anything. But to me, with common sense, is a $300-$400 increase on something invested in 6 months ago, with only $1,100-$1,200 investment, and can get back $1,500 right now. I can't think of anywhere else I could have put that would have happened, and to know that it may fluctuate some, but over the next few months it's going to keep going up to even more. I don't get how people can deny that and keep trusting in paper and digits on a computer and thinking that you're going to do all right in the long run. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I mean, there were certainly anyway, convert those fiat dollars into real money, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's all about. And profits are gravy. What you're doing is you're protecting your purchasing power. And where we go from here, we're going to have ups, we're going to have downs, we're going to have up and down days. But long-term fundamentals for gold and silver, as long as we're on the fiat dollar, as long as they keep spending until the cows come home, gold and silver are only going to go higher. So
that's true.
Some of the headlines in the news, the financial news today, we saw that China's imports from the United States, that did fall 19% in July, amid this trade war that's going on. And let's see, China's currency sets it at a midpoint at 7.0039 per dollar, and this is still the weakest since April 2008. But China kind of soothed the market nerves by saying that their currency has pretty much found a floor, and so the yuan edged up as the People's Bank of China signals intent to stabilize its decline. So again, it's not so much what they do, it's what they say that markets react to most of the time, 80-90% of the time. Japan, led by less apologetic generation, stays tough in South Korea feud. And it was interesting. I got a little pressed. I wanted to follow up on it, Butch. But I saw where South Korea has admitted to paying the United States more for the military protection that we provide.
Really?
I didn't see how much more. It was just an error in reporting. Because no one's talked about it. I haven't heard anyone talked about it, and I haven't had a chance to look it up. But it kind of upset me a little bit, because it's like, okay, so South Korea pays us a little more for our military bases and our men and women. But our men and women, if something breaks out, having them pay a little more is not worth their lives.
That's true. That's very true. But didn't Trump say that he was going to make the nations that we are in to support actually help pay for the cost?
He did.
So I wonder if that's going
on
other places, too.
That's why it caught my attention.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going on other places.
We should just bring them home. We shouldn't just ask for more money. We should bring them home, but that's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen.
We're past that stage.
Way past that stage. An empire can't do that. It'll collapse very easily if it does that. And we are an empire now. And we cannot maintain it, but you're going to try as long as you can.
And this was one day ago, and within days of multiple North Korean missile tests, I guess Kim Jong-un came out with another statement since then. President Trump has said talks have begun. It's just talks for South Korea to pay the U.S. more for its defense.
He's talking about it. Okay.
He's just talking about it. Talks have begun to further increase payments. South Korea is a very wealthy nation. Yeah, everybody's got a... I wonder if President Trump has a manufacturing plant in South Korea.
Well, you never know that, but I do know North Korea's President Kim, or whatever, Chairman Kim, says he's going to launch more missiles. There's a warning to U.S. and South Korea over their drill they're having over there this coming week. So they said, well, as long as they're doing this, we're going to keep launching missiles. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to mean that he's really serious about it, or you just tell him he's just doing it. I mean, Trump seemed to think that it's okay for him to do this, and it doesn't seem to bother him any. But I don't know. He said it's a warning, though, more or less, that this is an occasion to send an adequate warning to the joint military drill now underway by the U.S. and South Korea. So I don't know what's happening there. I really don't know.
Well, let me finish up on this story, because I just pulled it up after I mentioned this. And after reading through it, South Korea's foreign ministry said Wednesday that the cost-sharing talks had not officially started, but it was that the U.S. and South Korea officials during Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton's visit to Seoul last month, they had agreed that the upcoming negotiations should proceed in a rational and fair direction. And then in the fine print at the very end of the, close to the end, it says, a stopgap agreement for South Korea to increase its payments from $850 million in 2018 to $924 million in 2019 is set to expire in December. So I guess they don't have much choice but to start negotiating. But anyway.
Wow.
Anyway, so interesting.
It is interesting. The whole world's interesting anymore with what's going on. I mean, it's just like a boiling pot on a stove, and there's no outlet. It's just a whole lot of things happening. And I read an article here that I'd like to share because I think you'll find it interesting. I did not know this. You probably did, of course, but I didn't. The article's entitled, Will They Take All Your Money? Now, folks, this is serious. Most people assume that if they have money on deposit in the bank, they own that money. That's not necessarily the case. Decades ago, some of the world's most powerful countries began to pass legislation that if you deposit money in the bank, it becomes the property of the bank. In those countries, if you open a bank account and make a deposit, you sign off legal title to that cash and becomes the asset of the bank. The reason they got away with the obvious slip through legislation was that the banks were required to henceforth regard your deposit as a debt in your favor. So technically, you were still owed the money as a bank liability, even though it was no longer truly yours. On the surface, the change of ownership may seem to be a moot point, as surely any bank would allow you to withdraw with whatever you have a deposit, or there would be a run on the bank and the bank would fail. Well, that's a definite maybe. What if there were a financial crisis such as in Greece? An anticipated run on the banks was circumvented by freezing all accounts, then partially reopening them. If that were the case, the bank in question could allow small amounts of cash to be withdrawn by its depositors each week or each month until the crisis had been safely averted. Register today and learn more how they may increase your outlays, but then nonetheless, surely that would be a good thing to do, yes? Well, there might be a problem there. It's just possible that bank would decide that it was enjoying the revised relationship, that it would like to continue to make the deposits, take in deposits the normal way, but only pay you out allowances to depositors as it saw fit. And that's just what happened. The end of the Greek banking crisis has never been acknowledged, and depositors have to accept whatever the banks choose to allow them to withdraw long after the crisis ended. Melanie, I guess I knew it, but I didn't know it. I never thought about this. If it's a banking crisis, they can say you can't have all your money out, and we're going to dole it out to you at our own whim and what we think's right. That is not good, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, it's just not Greece. We saw it happen in Italy. We see it happen everywhere in other countries,
and it could happen here.
Oh, no, it can't, Butch. Come on.
I know. This nation's different. It'll never happen.
We're different.
We can have fiat currency.
That's
I mean, we can have fiat currency and not having inflation or any national debt or everything. We got to figure it out here.
We're different. So yeah. That can happen. But it has happened in other countries and so forth where they do limit what you can withdraw and so forth. And the people go blind. Because what else are they going to do? But it has put businesses and it has hurt businesses. It has hurt families. It has hurt. But that's what you sign up for.
Well, yeah, I don't know what that's going to entail in the future, but I do know that according to the article here, that bankruptcy in this country is up 5%. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is quite a bit, actually. It's up to 64,283 bankruptcies filed this year, up from 62,000 from this time last year. And a 5% increase in people that are filing bankruptcy means that they don't have any money. And 5%, Melody, of, we'll say, 150 million people, that's a pretty good chunk, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So I don't know if the economy's good, why are bankruptcies up? On individuals, not business individuals. Why is that? What's going on? Because they're going in debt more than they can afford. Now, the only one can do that's the government. We can't do that as individuals. When you borrow yourself into the red, you can't get back out of it. You got two choices: file bankruptcy or lose everything you have. And I guess right now they're deciding to file bankruptcy. That's America today, the nation that this can't happen to.
Absolutely correct.
So I don't know. I would think common sense, or I would, anyone's common sense, or I was starting to see a pattern here. I would believe they would. And now that, you know, said the government is preparing for Farmageddon. You know, Trump says he's probably going to do another bailout for the farmers, and said that it's the worst year ever for farmers. That China's ban on U.S. agriculture products will be the death blow for countless farmers because the weather's kept them from planting. Seriously, said even without anything else happening, we're going to see farm bankruptcies soar to absolutely crazy levels. But now the Chinese government is essentially cutting off U.S. agriculture imports. Said many will leave the industry entirely, never go back to farming again. Our nation will be worse off because of it. Yeah, when you lose farms, who produces food? Do we depend on more government, other agencies, other governments in, around the world to feed us then? When our farmers give up the ghost, so to speak, and say, that's it, I'm done? I mean, will that make us have to turn to more countries to get our food? Melly, this is another way to control the people, is it not?
It really is.
Food, you can go a long time without a lot of things, like a new car or maybe or an addition to a house. When it comes to feeding you and your children, you got to have food. And if the American farmers, and it looks like there are going to be a lot of them declaring bankruptcy, lose everything. Maybe the conglomerates will buy them out and take it over and produce good old GMO food. I don't know.
But it is what it is. It's probably most likely the design.
Yes, I would think so. I would think so. But it's so sad to see farmers suffer like that. It really is. These guys bust their buns trying to make things work.
Yeah. But you know what? They've been busting their butts for a really long time.
Yes, they have.
And it just took this one little thing in order to push them over the edge. And I mean, it's just the farmers, the dairy farmers, you know, any small mom and pop farm business has just been devastated. And it's sad.
It is sad.
I got lots of farmers that are customers and friends here at Discount Gold and Silver. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Moore.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And of course, visit the website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And just as a reminder, tomorrow program, James Corbett will be joining me. Of course, we recorded the program late last night. And we'll replay it tomorrow. And it's a very good segment with James Corbett. So please make sure that you appear at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. But if you can't, you can go to the website and pull up the archives and listen to the program. They're posted shortly right after 5 o'clock Eastern Time. So dgscoins.com. We got so many specials going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. From all of our prices are so dirt cheap. We haven't seen premiums rose a little bit in the bullion prices as far as premium over spot. But if you purchase items, you know, large enough, we can still discount them for you. And I think one of the best bargains out there right now, you don't ever hear me talk about proof coins because usually the premiums are so much. I mean, they're $150 over spot price. Well, we have some that are selling at the same price as the American Gold Eagle. So if you can get proofs, now you have to buy 10 or more. We can't sell them as an individual. You have to buy 10 or more. You can get some proof coins at the same price as a regular 1 ounce American Gold Eagle. And they do come in the mints, a blue box, the little velvet container, and all the paperwork and everything is there within the box. So very nice purchase to add to your portfolio. If you don't have, because it's probably the only time I'll recommend proof coins, is when you can get them at the same price as the regular American Gold
Eagle. That's a deal. That's a real deal.
It is.
Wow. And they're beautiful coins. They are gorgeous coins.
They are pretty. They are pretty. But when, you know, and again, the thing of it is, when they have premiums of 125 and 130, you're better off buying a pre-33 coin. You know,
yes.
So but the premiums do rise significantly on those proof coins. You have a lot of dealers across the country who put proof coins into IRAs. Do I put proof coins into IRAs? No. Why? The only reason these other dealers put proof coins in your IRAs is because they can charge more. They make more money on it. So again, it doesn't benefit you having that proof coin in there. You'd be better off having more ounces of gold or, you know. So 10 or more, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, I read these articles and think, it can't get any worse with insanity, but it does. Only in Illinois, there's a surprise increase in tax revenues and more pension debt equals stability for a state's finances. And that's what I said. I'm serious. Fitch Ratings just improved the Illinois' rating outlook from a negative to stable, partly basing its decision on an unanticipated $1.5 billion state revenue surge, tax increase, And on an on-time fiscal 2020 budget, it said the potential for a downgrade in the near future term has receded. But if anything, Fitch's points in favor of stability are just the opposite. They actually made Illinois weaker. Windfall revenues allow politicians to push off spending and structural reforms once again. They kicked the can down the road a little further is what they did. It's like we do in the federal government. And a balanced budget based on phony accounting means lawmakers will let the state's retirement debt grow by billions in 2020. Illinois balanced budgets don't require the state to make its full actual pension payments. Now, Melody, that's insane. They're going further in debt and raise taxes, $1.5 billion, and all of a sudden it's stable. Go figure. They can't pay the retirement pension now, so they're going to increase them.
It's the new math.
I guess.
I remember if he said anything that I will quote him on was Bush, President Bush, fuzzy math. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen, fuzzy math.
But a ratings company, Fitch, said they improved their rating by raising taxes and raising spending.
Yeah. No cutting, is there?
And these are supposed to be the smart people. Oh, thank God for good old common sense, for what we have of it, because most of it's dead in this country.
What's
you know
left,
that too.
What's left of it? Yeah, there is no common sense in this world.
Oh my gosh!
Anymore.
But you know, as I said the other day, a government is a parasite. All governments are parasites. They don't produce anything. They don't manufacture anything. They don't really do anything. They may provide some services that may be needed, but it's basically a parasite that bleeds on sucks on a healthy body of the people until the body is drained. And some of the people that are in Illinois and in Massachusetts and other places in New York are leaving the state trying to escape with some of their blood left, and they're going to other states. But eventually, it looks to me like all states are going to follow the same suit because they're all going broke. West Virginia, believe it or not, for the first time ever, was the best, according to the news, the best financially stable state in the country. West Virginia. We've always been near the bottom, but this time they said we're the top of the bunch as far as being financially stable. Of course, that means they did increase taxes last year. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. The government sucks on the people to pay its debt, and they have no incentive as a whole to start cutting back. No more than the federal government does. They raise the tax ceiling. There's no limit now what they can spend. So they're going to do what they can do to make this balloon fly a little longer. And here we sit as a people, you know, wondering how we're going to pay the power bill next month. You still with me?
I am. I'm just waiting for you
to think
continue.
About that. I mean, that's something people don't. I don't think we understand and grasp. The concept of trillions of dollars being spent. What we don't have, but the little guys are trying to pay the power bill and buy groceries, and working sometimes two or three jobs to do it. And retirees who have no extra income, they just draw what they draw, are trying to keep their head above water. Yet the government keeps on beating them and spending trillions. There's something wrong with that picture.
You know what's really wrong with that picture? Is because government will do what they've always done. They spend. They're not accountable since they took us off the dollar. They still spend even before we were on gold. I didn't mean the dollar, but the gold. I mean, they spent and went into debt prior to that, but there was still accountability. There was only so much that they could, you know, go into debt for and so forth and whatnot. And so they're going to do what they're going to do. What I find more disturbing is there's no outrage. Everybody just sits
back.
That
is a problem.
And we're all running. We're all riding the coattails of the government and Wall Street. And we don't really seem to care what they do with our money.
That's right.
Our money. We just let them, you know, we know that if we don't pay it, we get thrown in jail. But yet we don't give them any accountability to what they do with it. I mean, and we just keep dishing it out, and they keep lying to us, and they keep lying to us. And then at the other side that wants to continue to give free stuff away, to spend our money even more recklessly. So the real issue is, who should we really be upset with?
I totally agree. But when you have well over half the population, I think close to three quarters actually, receiving some kind of government subsidy or check, about three-fourths people do this in this country. I don't care if you're retired or food stamps or HUD. I don't care what it is. Whenever three-fourths people get some kind of government check, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
No.
So that's what
I
did.
But nobody asks why. But they know it's human nature. You know, they know how to give these teeny little tidbits. That's what it is, tidbits. I mean, you can't live decently with what they give you. They just give you enough to survive.
That's it.
And
that
takes
the,
your will.
Yes.
It takes your desire,
incentive.
Your motivation, your incentives. Because
it
it's
does.
All designed for you to fail. And once you become dependent on somebody...
That's totally true.
So, who should we really be upset with? Government?
Well,
we know what they do.
That's exactly right. And the people that provide your needs actually become your lord after a while, if you know what I'm saying. They become your boss.
Sure.
You don't bite the hand that feeds you. So that's what we're seeing. And the people, just as you said, there's no incentive to get angry, because if they do, they might lose their check.
Yep.
And the people don't want to hear this, but government has no business in doling out monies for anything to any individual. It was never given to them as right in the Constitution. Certainly, it's not biblical for government to tax and give away money. It's not to individuals that don't want to work or can't work. That sounds cruel, but it's not the government's business. They're not to be in the welfare business. But they've done that, started way back in the 1930s, and really grew in the 60s, and now grown so much more. But it's not the government's duty or business to do that.
I wouldn't mind if our monies went to help people, Butch. I don't have a problem with that. People go through hard times. I don't mind helping people. And if that's one way, you know, in order to do that across the nation and so forth. But it's not supposed to become a lifetime of benefits. They were originally designed to be temporary until people got back on their feet.
But when the people realize that they can vote themselves more money, they say once you open the floodgate, even a little bit, even for a good idea,
there was nothing, you know, it was but to help people get back on their feet. But the programs were designed so they couldn't get back on their feet.
Of course.
And then you have the I don't know, I don't like to use the word, how the country has evolved, you know, with growth and strength, and we became prosperous and you know,
it's a fake
everybody's
prosperity.
Willing.
It's a fake prosperity.
Well, in the beginning, it was real prosperity to some degree. I mean, sure, with the fiat and so forth and whatnot, but before we got to the
yes.
dangerous part and everybody did seem to benefit. But it takes its course, and then because we didn't protect anything, everybody just went to sleep. And our days got better. We never had any bad days. So it was always like, well, you know, as long as we don't have any bad days, we'll just let it go. And here we are today.
Well,
and
it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Absolutely is. But when you give government the ability to tax, to actually help somebody, like you said, really help somebody temporarily, once you give them that ability, That generation may accept that as being something decent, but the next generation sees votes and power. They give them more. They evolve where they are today.
But it was still the people's responsibility to vote, to pay attention and to vote, and we don't do that.
No, we don't.
You know, and we were conditioned. I remember as a child, we were always conditioned that two things you don't talk about is religion and politics. Well, hello, that's what we should be talking about.
I agree. But you know, you talk
about. We've been conditioned with all these little phrases and ideas.
Well, the church is the same thing. The church is about the same lie. That's why they're not involved.
Yeah.
They're about the same lie. You don't talk about these things. Yes, you do. That's what we're here for. You know, but you stop and think, though, if we had a man run for office, we'll say he was a strong moral character and fiber, and he told the people, now listen, folks, I want to make this nation what it once was, a free nation, and give people the right, the ability to produce for themselves and make and earn livings, and what you make, you get to keep. I want to do that. Now, we're not going to promise, we're not going to give you any handouts. We're not going to do anything as far as government subsidies to help you make it. We're just going to give you the liberty to do this yourself, and I want you to go out there and work, and it's all yours. You get to keep it. We're going to get back on a sound moral basis. On the other hand, you have a liberal say, all right, now that won't work, but we're going to promise you more of the things we've been giving you for years. So you vote for me and I'll give you more stuff. The other guy said, you vote for me and I'll give you freedom back to you. Who's going to get the votes? Think about that.
We know.
Sure we do. That's why we're in this mess. But anyway.
And the problem is, Butch, we're just way too far gone.
We are too far gone. We're trillions of dollars too far gone. Trillions and trillions. That's not counting the derivatives.
Nope.
So we're way over the hill. It's not going to come back. Folks, I don't want to scare you. But it's not going to come back. If you depend on your retirement, 401ks, IRAs, that you may live long enough, that may not happen in your lifetime. But it's going to happen. And then you can take that to the bank for sure.
What else you got for us?
Well, I just read Trump did put his blockade in on Venezuela. You probably know that already. Now, Venezuela's Vice President Delcy Rodriguez has denounced that what the state media is describing as a ship seizure by the U.S. in the Panama Canal Wednesday. The ship is reportedly packed with 25,000 tons of soya and was entering the narrowest vital in Central American waterway when its progress was halted in an event which Maduro government officials have condemned as a serious aggression that impedes the country's right to food. Though in the initial hours of Wednesday's allegation, major international media outlets had not yet confirmed the claim. Rodriguez tweeted a statement saying Venezuela denounces before the world that a boat that holds 25,000 tons of soya for food production in their country has been seized in the Panama Canal due to the criminal blockade imposed by Donald Trump. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know. But I do know that blockades like that can be an act of war. We will see. That's a little bit extreme if that happened.
And I did see, I'm not sure if I can bring it up quick enough, you know, without we're going to be heading into a break in a couple of minutes, but I think China gave a warning. Well, yes, the Chinese foreign ministry slams the U.S. interference in Venezuela. So,
really?
They said it's an act of gross interference and a violation of the norms of international relations. This comes from China's foreign ministry. China would continue to cooperate with Venezuela, ministry spokeswoman Hua Xiangying said in a statement. Did that pretty good there. Said in a statement issued late on Wednesday and urged the United States to respect international law and stop trying to stir up discord. She was responding to comments by U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton warning China and Russia to end their support for the embattled Venezuelan government of Maduro. So, you know, we do know how Venezuela has plunged into this political crisis. But China and Russia continue to support Maduro. And Chinese President Xi Jinping said in June that Beijing would help restore normality to Venezuela. And, of course, we see our relationships with China become a little more strained, particularly with the trade war. And now we also can throw Venezuela into the picture. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And we finished up Venezuela, heading into the break. Where are we going to now? What country are we going to visit?
Well, we're going to stay right here, but we're going to do something new.
What's that?
The Census Bureau is going to hire illegals to help take the census. I'm not making it up. I'm serious.
I know, and I did some research on that. I'm not sure they're really illegals, but they are hiring non-citizens.
Well, that's true. But it's basically non-citizens to take a census. That they say they're doing because they speak, you know, the Spanish or whatever, and they can go into the migrant camps, the immigrant communities, and get better census. Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you can't find a U.S. citizen that speaks Spanish?
I know.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, but they're going to hire these to go
although,
in.
Although, Butch, that might be true.
Well, you know, if you come from West Virginia, you don't even speak English. But nonetheless, but it kind of bothered me that they're going to hire non-citizens when people that I do know would need some work. I know a lot of people right here would love to work part-time for the census because they pay pretty good.
They do pay good. Well, they need to get out there and apply for it. They're not hiring all.
No, they're not. These are people that said are going to be. But I am convinced that some people, if they would put these jobs, I don't know how to post them. If they do post them, I don't know. But I'm sure they would find somebody that would be willing to do that because they do pay pretty good money. And why not use citizens to if you're going to do a census of U.S. citizens, why not have citizens do the census?
Oh, and I agree. They actually recruit leading up to the 2010 census, the Bureau recruited 3.9 million job applicants. Out of that 3.9 million, they ultimately hired about 500,000 people. And I think you go to the post office, maybe.
Okay.
I can't remember what department you go to get to be able to apply for this, to get the application. Or if everybody has computers, they can go online. If you don't have a computer, you can go to the library and find out where you can apply online and so forth. But the Bureau is aiming for an applicant pool of 2.3 million by mid-February, and the 549,000 it currently has is more than double its projected goal of 205,000 at this point. And they pay $13.50 to $30 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't understand. Yeah, but what I don't understand is, didn't the federal government push for $15 minimum wage?
Yeah, I hear you. And so did Bernie's, but his workers are quitting because they don't pay him that much.
You know.
So, go figure.
Yeah, I know. But what I find interesting, and this goes back to hiring these non-citizens and so forth, And if they're non-citizens, there's no way you can tell whether they're legal or illegal. That's the whole drift of that. You don't know if they are or not. And you're right. They should all be citizens. And I think that was part of the law, that they're supposed to be all citizens of the United States, except for, as you mentioned, you know, speaking a different language for to be an interpreters. The last time the census was administered in 2010, I don't know why this is just children. 1 million children, 4 years old and younger, were missed. The most undercounted age group by nearly double, and it cost states roughly $500 million in federal funds. The next most undercounted age group was 5 to 9 year olds. So you're looking at all kids under the age of 10. And my question is, you know, I really don't care if they miss the kids. I mean, $500 million in federal funds? I mean, the state should take care of their own. They shouldn't be getting federal funds.
Totally agree. And that's what it used to be. And that I agree. That's what the 10th Amendment is all about, but that's been dead a long time.
Anyway. And again, it is. Sometimes, Butch, it sounds like we're terrible people.
No, we're not. We're trying to tell people the truth. No, we're not. No, we're not.
We're
really not.
I want to see people benefit and prosper and do well on their own. It just makes you feel good.
Yes, it
does. You feel good. And so it's not that I don't want to see children fed, or my gosh, I'm the biggest softy in the room half the times, all the time. But anyway.
Yeah, she really is, folks.
But it's just the truth.
It is the truth. It is the truth. I mean, because we've lost our independence as individuals and even states, we now all depend on a higher power, so to speak, the federal government, to take care of us, and we're paying the cost for it.
If the churches were doing what they were supposed to be doing,
there you go.
They would be taking care of the local children.
That's true.
They would be working with the states, with the local charities, and that's why I always support Salvation Army. Because they do so much.
I do also. I do also.
So.
I do also. Good points. And right on the money, the church was supposed to be one that saw that the needy was fed. The church gave it up and the government took over. What God could do in 10%, the government can't do in 50%. So, or more. So go figure.
Go figure.
Anyway, and I guess you heard, and I covered this last night on the program, we seriously now are a nation of fear. At least for protection. I guess you saw that on three different occasions, but this one occasion in Times Square, a motorcycle backfired and hundreds, if not thousands, of people ran because they thought somebody was shooting. I guess you saw that.
Well, I saw the headlines. I saw the print. Did you see any other news?
I did. I saw the videos. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And they panicked. But people are scared to death. Now, that's exactly why these things are happening. A frightened people are easily controlled because they don't want to be in trouble. They want security. They'll do anything in their power to be safe another day. And Ben Franklin said it very well, and this is a paraphrase. If you give up essential liberty for temporary security, you deserve neither liberty nor security. And the people of America are now at the position where they'll give up everything if the government can just protect them one day. And that's why they're talking about the gun control now. And Trump sold us out, as he did before, on different issues. But here's another article, too. This is in Los Angeles. A guy went on a killing spree with a knife. Now, this, folks, he says, he was just a very angry man. He went in and he killed four people and wounded two others in Southern California with a knife. So are they going to start outlawing knives? Is that going to be next? I mean, they can't let them have a knife. England's doing that. England's already doing this. You can't have knives, even kitchen knives, up to a certain length. Now, folks, this is for real stuff. When people are afraid, they will follow any tyrant's rule if they promise them security and a place to sleep. And that's what America's come to today. We are people full of fear, and we obey because we're afraid not only of what could happen to us, what the evil gods will say, but also afraid of the tyrant that rules over us. If we don't obey, they'll put us in jail. We'll lose our stuff. So we will sell our, we will give up our stuff, and we'll sell our soul, so to speak, to the nation, for security and a false prosperity. And that's where we are. So take away the knives, take away the guns, take away the baseball bats, take away anything that could be an assault weapon, because we got to take care of the people. I guess the safest place to be, Melody, will be in jail, because they give you 3 squares a day, and they're in a place to sleep, and you got 24-hour protection.
That's true.
So there you go.
That's true. And you know what?
Anything,
Go ahead. It really is sad that we are a nation of fear, and they, you know, they use that fear and greed. It moves the masses, and they'll use those emotions. And we, unfortunately, we don't fear the ones that we need to fear.
And that's very true.
So
very true.
You know, and talking to people, and you know, it wasn't this administration. I mean, we went through, you know, after 9/11, everybody was afraid of Al Qaeda. Prior to 9/11, you had Iraq. I can't tell you how many articles I read, and people were talking about Iraqis crossing the border through Mexico with suitcase nukes and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that went on for years until, you know, there was no more Iraq, and so they just take us from, I mean, every
one crisis to another crisis.
One crisis to another.
And how many liberties did we lose under the Patriot Act 1 and 2? We lost a lot of things that we assumed was going to always be there. Even the ability to draw money out of the bank without being tracked.
We lost under the NDAA. We lost under the surveillance legislation. We've lost on all the legislation that was written after 9/11. And they just keep signing it and extending it and making them permanent. So, but nobody talks about those anymore, so...
No, they don't.
We've become used to the new norm.
Well, we become, and I say this lovingly because I'm just guilty of anybody else, we become a mentally, physically, and spiritually soft people. You know, we've really had it almost made too long.
Before you go any further, and I want you to go further, I'm just going to say that, you know, and that's not everybody. We're talking as a nation.
That's what I'm saying.
Whole.
No, I say I'm guilty too, though. That's not everybody. No.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's easy to sit here and point, but you know, it's a nation as a whole. This is how they've, you know, herded us to the various places.
We come to the point now that the millennials, especially, you can hurt their feelings if you say good morning the wrong way. So that's where we are. And you could be sued for hurting somebody's feelings because you said the wrong thing to them. A young boy was kicked out of school because he refused to call another boy she. He was illegally kicked out of school. A Liberty Council took his case and won it, but he was kicked out of school because he knew the other boy, and he said he's not a girl, he's a boy, and I'm not going to call him she. They kicked him out of school. That's America today. What's happened? Kind of spooky.
We all know what happened.
Yeah, we do. And back to some more things I think are concerning, especially this is happening. This is happening in Iran. You know, we got the blockade on Venezuela, and it's going through the Panama Canal, which is a main trading route. You know that. That's huge amount of traffic through there. Iran is now reportedly jamming the ship's GPS navigation systems to get them to wander into Iranian waters. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. This Associated Press. Ships sailing through the Strait of Hormuz and Persian Gulf have been experiencing GPS interference and various other problems with that U.S. officials suspect is the work of the Iranians, CNN reported Wednesday. Ships, according to the U.S. Central Command and Department of Transportation's Maritime Administration, have reported GPS interference, bridge-to-bridge communication, spoofing, and jamming, among other problems. U.S. defense official told CNN that the Iranians have jammers in place aimed at negatively affecting GPS navigation systems on ships and aircraft so that they might wander into Iranian waters or airspace, justifying a seizure. Perhaps. I don't know. But that could be true. But it's another place of trade, is it not? Big-time trade with oil for all the nations in the world. What if this is true and this leads to a closure of the Straits of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf? What would that mean to the world, actually? But how about the U.S.? How would that affect us financially?
I guess it's a matter of how long they keep it closed. I mean, if it's closed a week, I don't think it's going to do much, but... You know, if they can maintain it, it just depends on the reactions to the rest of the world. I don't know.
Well, even for a week, I would think panic would put the oil prices up through the roof.
You'd think.
You know, and if that happened, it wouldn't just affect you and I for gasoline, but it would affect the freighters who are already having a hard time. We'll increase the price in food and other supplies. So I don't know, folks. We're playing with fire here. Now, Russia has since moved into the Persian Gulf. Now, this is something that really can mean something. A potentially catastrophic escalation of tensions in the Persian Gulf, Russia plans to use Iran's ports in Bandar-e-Bashar and Chalabar as forward military bases for warships and nuclear submarines, guarded by hundreds of special forces, troops under their guise and military advisors, and an air base near Bandar-e-Bashar as a hub for 35 Su-57 fighter planes. Oilprice.com is exclusively being told by senior sources close to the Iranian regime. The next round of joint military exercises in the Indian Ocean and the Strait of Hormuz will mark the onset of an in-situ military expansion in Iran, as the Russian ships involved will be allowed by Iran to use the facilities of Bandar-e-Bashar and Chalabar. Depending on the practical strength of domestic and international reaction to this, the ships and Spetsniks will remain in place and will be expanded in numbers over the next 50 years. So now Russia is putting its troops in Iran, in the Persian Gulf, and setting up bases there, just like we have, Melody, all over the world. Imagine that. Russia is going to put bases out there like we have all over the world. How dare they? How dare they do that? I mean, they're acting like us. Who give them the right to act like us?
We're nicer.
With me? Exactly.
Nicer.
And Hong Kong said it will intervene if things get any worse intervene in Hong Kong if things get any worse. They're ready to send whatever they need to in their own police, I guess, or military, to quell the violence in Hong Kong. So China's telling them, you better straighten up or we're going to come in. So this is another. These are hot areas all over the world that are actually serious situations. Only God knows what's going to happen. But these are hot spots, and they're not just one of them or two of them. They're around the globe. Yep. Are we still there, Melanie?
Yes, I am. I'm
okay.
Listening.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. That's why I wanted you to finish up there. So,
800-375-4188.
That's 1-800-375-4188. I'll be back tomorrow with my interview on James Corbett. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.